Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it, but it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. 'Cause it's good enough for me. It will make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying. And it's good enough for me. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. 'Cause it's good enough for me. It's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. And it bring things from undercover. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. And it's good enough for me. It was good in the fiery furnace. It was good in the fiery furnace. It was good in the fiery furnace. And it's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's good enough for me. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. One more time. Give me that old-time religion. Just give me that old-time religion. Good enough for me.
Traveling, I know Brother Joe and some of those are traveling, just wherever they may be today, bless them, be with them, and guide them as they travel. Remember our Valentine's banquet? Today is the last day to sign up. If you hadn't signed up after today, then you don't get to come. That's just the way it is. Remember, when pictures will be at 4 o'clock, we'll be eating at 5, so make sure if you're coming to sign up downstairs. We're taking it up after today. Remember that. Another announcement here. Brother Joe gave me one. Said, parents, please pick up the Youth Foundation sermon quizzes downstairs. For the next 5 months, we'll be listening to the Seven Seals series. The sermons to listen to with your children for the month of February is the first seal and the second seal. Included, there are two worksheets, which will be like these, first and second seal worksheets. Make sure you'll have those and make sure you fill them out. Next two afternoons, so just remember that. Well, knock everything down. Remember Brother Darty? He had his eye surgery and all went well on Friday. But he's having problems, you know, of course, seeing the drive right now. So that's why him and Sister Johnny's not here today. But keep him in your prayers. All went well with sounds. And also Brother Chris Reynolds, he said he worked 12 hours last night and he didn't get any sleep. So he won't be here today. And his sleep patterns are never right because of working at night. Just pray that he gets a daytime job with sufficient income. So remember that. Also, 12 hours every night, so he's right. He's having problems sleeping during the night and having to go back in. So just remember Brother Chris Reynolds today, if you would. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. We have mentioned, Lord, and maybe other ones that are traveling. Be with them and guide them and bless them. Be with the sick, Lord. Remember, thank you for taking care of Brother Darty there, Lord, and his eye surgery. All was well. Just continue blessing them. Bless Sister Johnny's also having problems with her knee. Lord, just bless her also. Lord, be with the Sunday school classes. Bless him today. Lord, be with Dad. Give him strength that we have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Lord, most of all, you forgive us for all of our sins and love you for you many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's sing number 30 in the Spiral Book, Higher Ground, key of F. We'll try that key.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Sing that chorus one more time. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Is that your desire? Lord, to plant you higher, higher, and higher. Letting go of more burdens and burdens, and no more taxes. No more No more of these troubles of this world. Amen. Praise God. I want Him to just plant me higher and higher. Amen. Let's sing that song number 53, Sweet By and By. Key of F.
There's a land that is fairer than they, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. Shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. Sing that chorus one more time. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Terrence, do we take up offering in the morning? Okay. We do? Okay. Did we do it before the reading? I just can't remember. Okay. Well, let's take up our offering then. And, Gabriel, would you like to help us, please?
Let's just sing that chorus one more time as Brother Colley prepares.
Let's just sing that first verse again, and then we'll sing the chorus. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Let's all stand, please, that we will all meet one day together on that beautiful shore. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 88. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we are grateful that you have given us this privilege, this opportunity to come together to worship. Father, we pray as we have gathered, that as we read your word, that you reveal it to us, what we read, Lord, that it may become a part of us and give us strength that we may grow by. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Psalm 88. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee.
Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry.
For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave.
I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength.
Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand.
Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness in the
deep. The wrath lies hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah.
Thou hast put me in far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth.
My eyes mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hand unto thee.
Thou show wonders to the dead. Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah.
Shall thy love and kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction?
Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?
But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee.
Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me?
I am afflicted and ready to die. From my youth up, while I suffer the terrors, I am distressed.
Fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off.
They came around about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend, thou hast put me from me, and mine acquaintances into darkness. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of the word. Thank the Lord for his word. Praise God. Let's sing number page 674, Inspire Book 674, Wonderful Words of Life, key of E flat. How many believe those words still give life? They're life-giving words. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Amen. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the blessed on the wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call. Wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call. Wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all. Wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior. Sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. One more time, that chorus. Oh, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Praise the Lord Jesus. We want those words of life in us. Amen. So that we can manifest them on the outside. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's sing that Psalm 663, I Would Not Be Denied. I guess we can try and see, but we'll see if that's too low. Okay.
When pangs of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. denied. As Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. An instant with a courage bold, I stood upon His word. I would not be denied. I would not be denied till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. Old Satan said my Lord was gone and would not hear my prayer. But praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ the Lord is here. You believe that? I would not be denied. I would not be denied till Jesus came and made me whole. Would not be denied. Let's sing that last verse again. Old Satan said my Lord was gone and would not hear my prayer. But praise the Lord, that work is done, and Christ the Lord is here. I would not be denied. I would not be denied till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. I would not be denied till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. Are you ready for the word? Praise God. So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. That's where Brother Dale comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 and I want to see.
See Him, don't you? Good to see you about in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading from 1 Peter 1, and then we'll go to Revelations 2. 1 Peter 1, Revelations 2. Remember the announcements that have been made and things. the upcoming events. And now the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday in March at Brother Longora's. Remember that. Come on, no. I'll be much in prayer for all of that.
Still on our thoughts, still trying
to cover the point and getting into the church ages. Maybe today we just move in a little bit to see our point and cover from that, you know, in the Word and seeing. Because what's been our point? We've been talking about how the Bible was written. That's our whole goal, to see that part. And if we can see how the book of Revelations comes into being, then we see how that, you know, that the whole Bible comes into being, and all on that point. So just remember that. All right, 1 Peter 1 and Revelations 2. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your love and your grace. Thank you for all things. We just ask you now that you'd come among us in a mighty way and open our understanding to thy word, because that's our desire. That's the reason for gathering, is to see you and to see you in the word and how you manifest yourself. And let that then come forth as alive into our hearts and our lives, that we may see you. Father, we ask you to be with the sick that's among us. Just touch each one and let your light be there, Lord, to deliver them from those things and the problems. Because we believe your word that by your stripes we're healed, and we thank you for it. Have your way now. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory, or at the appearing of Jesus Christ, right? Okay, remember the appearing and the coming. He's appearing now among the world in healings and signs and wonders, but his coming is in the bride, or manifestation to her, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, see, it's prophesying of it. They did back there. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves. Now, it was made known to them, you know, but they couldn't see the end of it. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. See, the disciples already at this time were out preaching of what the Old Testament spoke of, and to bring into manifestation, sent down from heaven, which things the angel desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's just stop there and we'll continue the thought. Father, we thank you and we ask you now to just bless us. Bless your word. We commit it all into your hands. God, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, because we're going to get to Revelations 2 anyway. And as I was saying, now, what's our point? What has it been? We've been talking about the writing or the bringing forth of the Bible. Now, Brother Branham says that Christ, the mystery of God revealed, that Jesus Christ is the central theme of the entire Bible, all right? So what we're going to be dealing with today is the point of the theme of the Bible. Okay, too far. Okay, got it? All right. See, the theme of the Bible, a theme is like a, you know, something you're doing, like a composition you're writing, or a subject that you're trying to bring forth and to do. And really, it comes into a point of talking like, taken from the word composition, because that's really what a theme is. And a composition is like many things brought together to form one point. See, you're making a composition of something. It means a lot of things brought together. And see, that's what the Bible is. It's God's plan and purpose of salvation. And it's a bringing together all of those things, which would be a thing here and a part here. See, the Old Testament had their part. All right. See, then the New Testament started, brought its part. You know, the Lord Jesus walking on earth. Then, you know, come on into the book of Acts, and then now talking in the church ages. So then it's forming a written word, or a manifested alive word. Because that's the point. See, the word has always been alive. It's mankind, the one that didn't have it in the line of the light. The word itself is alive. And all right. But now get that statement and keep it, that it's many things. A composition is many things that is finally brought together. Each one is speaking of finally pointing to one thing. All right. So now, no matter where you would read in the Bible, all right, when you read in the Bible, the prophet said, if you don't see Christ in every verse, he said, go back and read it again. He said, cause you missed it. All right. See, then that's many things, many manifestations that he's had, like reading that of the Peter there, that those Old Testament prophets, they knew something was going on. But they couldn't see totally down to the end of it. But they knew that they were involved in something, but they were waiting for a time to see it. And they never did see it come into reality, see, because finally Jesus Christ did step forth from that. But yet the Old Testament part, those prophets and things were already passed on. They couldn't see the end of what they were trying to bring. But Peter said we would see the end of our salvation. The salvation of our souls, right? We'd come to the end, because that's what's been spoken. In other words, tied all together. And watch what I'm saying. Everything you study in the Word to see Christ. And you're coming down and you're bringing it to a collection or a topic, because that's another word for theme. It's like a topic, and you're bringing it down to that. And everything in our will speak of Jesus Christ. All right? And see, because he's the theme of the entire Bible. Okay? Now, in following that then, we can come to forth, because my point has been, we may read in the Old Testament and see the writings and see the things and try to bring that together. But when you come to the book of Revelations, you're coming to something that you're not necessarily writing the... Now, it'll be in there, so just hold a point. But you're not... The book of Revelation is not necessarily writing the past. The book of Revelations, I've tried to emphasize, the book of Revelations is the alive word. Now, remember what we're saying. John wrote after Paul died, but that don't change anything. Because in the days of Paul, the Word was alive. When you enter the New Testament, remember you're no longer prophesying, right? You're coming to a reality of the living Word. You're not trying to prophesy of it or show it. All right, then see, it can speak of future things. But not necessarily. See, that's where the prophet said it, you know, on the message, "Sirs, we would see Jesus," that I was quoting the other day. That see, that people find the greatest, he said, the greatest hindrance is people try to build something in the past or something well over in the future and said you're missing it, and it's so high that no one can reach it. And I'm quoting what he says from the sir. He said, it's so high, nobody can reach that. Why? Because you've had it in the past or you're putting it in the future. Now listen to words what he said. Now that's just the devil doing that. So the devil is trying to keep you confused. So he builds upon and talks of the past, and he'll talk of the future. But he doesn't want you to think about anything present tense. All right? Now, may I say this with our thoughts in our mind? The new birth cannot be a past tense. The new birth cannot be a future tense. The new birth is a present tense. Something happening right now. Now, there's more to go in the new birth. Right. More growth developments. All that. Right. Wonderful. But just remember the new birth. The new birth is present tense. All right. And see, Brother Branham, I like this one, to where he's talking about the I am. He said now from the message, look away to Jesus. He said, when Moses drawed close to it, said, take off your shoes, for I am. Now, if you would weigh that word, I am, it's past tense, present tense, and future tense. All right? I am eternal. Okay? Now, remember what he said to Moses, just to give a little show of what we're thinking about. When he said to Moses, Moses said, I'm not going unless you tell me who you are. He said, you've told me that you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or maybe Joseph is, or I forgot which way it goes. But anyhow, he says, Moses said, I know them. I've heard it about it. You've talked to me about it along the way in my journey and things, but said, I'm not going till you give me something. Right? Now, what did he say? Why did he make that statement? Because I'm wanting you to see a present tense. Perfect present tense. Everybody, you want to say it? He said, I am that I am. Now, what did he mean? I am that I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm what they spoke of. I'm what all of these things. And says, now Moses, you know the story. You know where you were born. How you was born. How your life was. He said, then you come down to the point of trying to do what you could do. And said, you didn't make it. But he said, I want you to know, now listen to the point. I am that I am. I am that. That brought forth you as a child. I am that tried to tell you you was a leader and to do what was right. I am that I am. It's not double stating of eternity because there's no need of double stating eternity. I am is enough. That's eternal. But he said, I am everything that spoke of anything in your life or your thoughts or anything you say, I know of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am that one that spoke through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. I'm all of that. So I'm telling you, if you just listen, Moses, everything that's ever been before, I'm it. I'm that. So I'm that I am.
Amen.
That's right. All right. I was thinking about that the other day. I said, I don't think we really see that. We don't see that why he would double state. He said, I am that I am. If he's referring, you can just say, well, he's that I am. He, you know, he's that. That's fine. But that doesn't get enough to me. Because if he's putting it all on Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of the patriarchs, as Peter says, it's written about it, and all of them speaking about it, and all of them coming forth. See? In other words, he's saying to Moses, look, I sent you to Egypt. I sent you to Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt. I'm that I am. Because remember, we get the story wrong. Israel never went to Egypt. Now listen, Israel never went to Egypt in bondage. They went to Egypt as conquerors, that the ruler gave him the best land, gave him Goshen, gave him all of those things. It probably took a couple of 200, 300 years that they were in Egypt before they become slaves. So remember, he sent them to Egypt for another reason. He didn't send them to Egypt as slaves. That going into Egypt, get the point. A lot of times Israel sinned and God sent them into countries as punishment. But he never sent the children of Israel to Egypt as punishment. That was not it. It was to the point that they were to go down there and be the leaders. And had they stayed with it, they would have. But they wouldn't stay with it. Maybe 100, 200, 300 years somewhere. That they were actually there with the Egyptians as side by side, living off the greatest land it could ever be. And they had everything. They had the Goshen, which was the great parts of Egypt, the greatest of all, and that belonged to them. Then they become a king that didn't know Joseph, right? Then they went into bondage and things. So you get the story. So he's saying to Moses, Moses, I sent you to Egypt, or the people. God, I told him, said, you're going to be down there 400 years. He said, I am that I am. I'm the one that said all these things. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because I am eternal. That's who I am. He's eternal. That's why Jesus Christ then is what? The central theme of the entire Bible. Because who was Moses? What did Brother Brown say? He said, I couldn't understand how Moses could tell God a better way of doing things. He said, I found out it was Christ in Moses. We see, when Moses left that burning bush, he didn't leave the burning bush. The bush went with him. When he went to Egypt, where was the bush? Not following him as a physical bush, but there was the I am. Why was Pharaoh afraid of Moses? My goodness, he's king. All he had to say, cut his head off. But he was afraid. Number one, you've heard me speak about it before. I believe he was afraid to the point that Moses would cause an insurrection and take over. But remember, Pharaoh could read the hieroglyphics, what is the word for it, you know, where they wrote of the story. And remember, it's in the stories of the hieroglyphics that Moses would come forth and be the leader. Not the name Moses, but they would come forth a leader, a one to take them out. So if I was Pharaoh, I'd be a little afraid of him too. I'd kind of let him just go along and kind of get along with him, wouldn't you? See? Hoping maybe he'd get up and leave. Well, see, God hardened his heart and kept him from. In other words, he starts out, hey, take him. Go out here so far and do what you want to here, do what you want to there, but just come on back and everything's okay. No, then God got into the heart of Pharaoh. You know, all right, get the point. So the theme of the entire Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, when we come to the book of Revelations, and we started our study of the book of Revelations, we started off by the first three verses where he said, before I do anything now to you, John said, before you write anything, I want you to know who I am. And he's saying, I am that I am. I've come now to do what I said I'd do here. All right. John is writing. Now, do you understand what I'm getting at? I keep saying it. Because John is writing the Bible. The book of Revelations is a part of the Bible just as well as Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But who's writing it? God is speaking through John. And he's writing. Not the past. Because there's our point now to where we left off. See, the book of Revelations, it doesn't deal now. Listen, it's there because you've got to have it in there of who come from what or this or that or the other. But the book of Revelations is not written about the past. You've moved from a past tense to a present tense. But remember, as Moses was writing the first five books, he was writing in present tense. Right? I mean, is that sensible? He sat down and he wrote the first five books. As he was writing, that was present tense. He may have wrote of the past, and then he would write of his own life and even his own death. But then he would write of the future that, you know, Israel would go out with a mighty hand. But remember our point now, that because that's kind of the life statements I was making a couple of weeks ago when I was ministering, that the book of Revelations is not necessarily dealing with the past. Each point of it is present. You say, yeah, but he wrote this incident. Yeah, there was a lot of things before John went to Patmos. Paul had already become the first church age messenger. That church age was almost gone by the time. But Brother Branham said it this way. He said that Paul was there. He said, but it's not necessarily what we're considering. He said, it's the one who was the greatest of all the days. It didn't matter if Paul was over here. Paul's life and teachings is still prevalent today, teaching to our hearts and lives, right? And it's still present tense. There's your whole thing of what I've been trying to drive at. When you sit down and you read the Bible, you read it as a present tense and don't read it as a future tense. There are things that will be future. But remember, the point is what is present. And as the prophet said, you stay in the past. Like Wade was ministering here one day, I remember him saying, he said, let's quit trying to raise up Abraham. Abraham lived back there. See, I believe in an alive God. I believe in an alive manifestation of God. I don't care what the world says or the people of this message and how they turned against. That ain't got nothing to do with it. See, it's the alive word. But if you'll see that it's alive right now. Now, we're not going to get to the seventh church age because I got a point to holding there. All right. But we're going to try to deal in the church ages in relation to try to see. Now, what was our thoughts? What was our thoughts of the writing of the Bible? God comes down. He appears to a prophet. He writes the things. Moses, even the past, for 3,000 years, he writes it. That's fine. Then he comes to present tense as Moses going to the burning bush. There's where you pick up the present tense. And I'm trying to emphasize that. You pick it up as to Moses you know, standing before that burning bush, and that burning bush says, I am that I am. Now you go tell them that. You go down there and you tell the children of Israel, because listen, he was not necessarily going to tell Pharaoh.
Amen. That's right.
Now get the point and listen. His main objective was to go to Israel and get Israel to see who sent him. Then they'd believe his message. He'd given two signs, all of that. But he was trying to get Israel to see. It didn't matter about the Egyptians seeing who was coming down to take over. That didn't matter anyway. They didn't amount to a thing. It was to Israel to get them to realize something was taking place right then.
Right, right. Amen.
The word should be coming alive to you that when you read the Bible, it should be coming to the point that that Bible is alive.
Amen.
It'll stop being so bored about reading. You know, what do you mean, more bored? Well, I'm honest. What about you? When I read the Bible the first time, I was in a Baptist church, didn't know very much background, but a little bit, and read. Well, you know, when I got over there to that so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and an hour later, so I was still so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so begetting so-and-so. That didn't mean a thing to me. Right? Oh, you shouldn't have said it. Because if the word is not alive to you now or to me, it doesn't mean a thing. If it's not real right now, it doesn't mean a thing. Now, I ain't talking about a God of the future. I ain't talking about what is going to take place. I'm talking about what is taking place. That's been my whole goal for months, is to drive at a point that we could see the word of God is alive in the hearts of a born-again believer.
Amen.
And if we get that and get that into our doing, then you won't read the Bible. Because remember, and this is the point. I kind of got bored reading so-and-so begot so-and-so. Now, don't tell me you didn't. I'll just tell you you're lying, and we'll forget all of that. But all at once, right in the middle of that, go back and read it. Get into that so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so. And right in the middle of all that so-and-so begot so-and-so, there'll be a pearl that will appear in the scripture. It will tell something about what's taking place or has taken place or a future point. So we might ought to read so-and-so begot so-and-so. All right? Because right in the middle of that, you'll find an inserted point that even when you read it, you wonder, why was it put there? You know. But it's true now, right? Okay. Now, so then the point is what? Not to look back, not to look forward. Those are wonderful things. But to see what is taking place right now. All right. Now, in reading the church ages, I ask you to read those ages and pay close attention to the thoughts and things that were said. All right? I'm not asking for a raise of hands. I just ask you to read it. All right? Now, because in reading the book of Revelations, you find him speaking of past things, okay? Future things, okay? But the main concept of the book of Revelations is present tense. Because he always says, I am. Right? Chapter 1, 1, 2, and 3. I am. Verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's still on I am. Jumps over to 12. Still on I am. Just moving over into the bride form. One like unto the Son of Man. See? Coming right down out of that, right back into speaking of his glory, his doings. But now, I watched this as I was reading through. And I wish somebody would just come and say, well, Brother Dale, I found something you didn't read. Because I get tickled at that. I don't have any problem. I read it. It didn't cross my mind. But if you read the church ages, all right, you immediately find out that each church age begins with God telling who he is. And you say, yeah, but that was okay in Revelation 1, 3. Yeah, that was. That was great. That was wonderful. But now each church age. So it's not going to be a past and a future tense. If he says, I am, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, he says, I am. Then he says, I am. He keeps on saying, I am, I am, I am. All right. He never stops the saying of I am because that means present tense. Okay. Now, listen to the point now. See, then each church age has about four things that each age compares together. All right. Did you catch that and listen to it? Because it's very vital. You read Church Age 1, Church Age 2, get a thought in your mind of what you're looking for, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. You'll find the same thing. To every church age, he says, I know thy works. 1 through 7. He said, I know thy works. Each one of the church ages starts off by describing a part of his deity and what he is. All right? Each church age has within it a rebuke for the way they're doing. Each church age has a message to the overcomer. And each age has the statement, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church is. Plural, not to just one. He doesn't speak to one individual age. All right. Now, as I said there the other day, I was trying to get you to think about it. Every age inherits from the other ages. So if we can read one church age, and it says, you know, I'll give you to be, not blot out your name, one of them says. Well, you know what? That message goes to all seven ages. Because remember, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The message to each age will relate if you'll follow it and just read it and do like I done. I've got it written on my Bible. God telling who he is. God praising. God rebuking. And then God speaking to the overcomer. So you don't read like that. We're going to read it, so let's turn now. Go ahead. I told them I'd try not to, because they were kind of down on the pole in there on today. Some of them are out visiting. And I said, well, we'll try to just not do it. So let's go. I told them, go to chapter 2. Now let's read this. And if we read all 6-8, we'll read 6-8, because the seventh age, I'm not going to speak anything about it. I'm going to tell you that right now. We'll do it, Lord willing, Wednesday, because it has a special. All right. But look what it's doing. Okay? Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Now, we're watching four things. One, to tell who he is. A descriptive form of who he is and who's speaking. Two, a praise to the people of that age and to their works and their things they're doing. Three, It'll have a rebuke. And four, it'll come back to a praise, which is really coming back to the overcomer. All right, so now let's watch that and let's see if we can read it. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That's the same person of Revelations 1 that tells you I am. Right? All right, now listen. I know thy works. Telling who he is, verse 1. Now the praise. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. And how that thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now you're supposed to be reading the church ages with this, so I'm not going to go in to try to express the thoughts of what it is. You should have brought it out. You know, how do you try an apostle? You should say, I should say, how do you try an apostle? Well, by the word. You know, you ought to know what the prophet said. Because that's what he said. You try him by the word. All right. I'm just trying to get you to read something. For one time in your life, read something instructive that you'll see each church age has the same thing. And that's the writing of the word of God. But remember, as that church age was coming forth, it was present tense. You move into the next one, it's present tense. Okay, follow it now. Look. Look what he praised him, the works and the patience and the things. And hath borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and has not fainted. What a great praise to that age. Now look. Nevertheless, here comes a rebuke. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. You remember what I was saying the other day? Most people think the book of Revelation, church ages especially, is written, and it is to two people. It's written to churches. True and false. But they think God rebukes the false and praises the truth. Now, where's he going to pull the candlestick out of the false? Okay? Read sometimes for yourself instead of taking what somebody else in their concept thought, me or anybody. Read it for yourself. Right. Now he jumps right back. Look, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate. That first church age, the one thing you'll find as you move in the ages, if you'll read it and compare them, read it right there, read the next, read it. You'll find the praises becomes less. But not what he praises them for, does it? So you got praise, and then you got a rebuke. Now you're right back to praise again. Because that was the first church age. But you start falling away. You don't have a lot of praise. You have to be real careful to read it. All right? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So you promise the overcomer. And who God is, the praise to the church, the rebuke, comes back and repraises and ends it with telling them what they receive as an overcomer. And remember that point. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, plural. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Every age gets that statement. Don't isolate it to just one age gets one statement. Every age. Inherits. You want it? Let's see if I can find it. I laid it down on my notes, but. Oh, how can I overcome? There's going to be some overcomers in there. Watch. They remember each church age. The one preceding it inherits all that the other ages offer. All right? Now don't get confused in that statement. Listen to the statement. Each age inherits what the other age inherits. You're going to inherit the tree of life. That's the first church age. You mean you're not going to get the tree of life? No, see, you ain't thinking sensibly. Just think of the inheritance that comes to each age and let it keep building until it builds to this age. And you'll see why we're left here. I'll hold that till Thursday. I mean, till Wednesday. All right? Go to second church age. What? Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. Right. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Showing you who he is. All right? I know thy works. Same statement. Same statement to first church age. In tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things, see, praising, which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, what does he say? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Each one, if you want to back up and reread that coming down, we missed a verse in there. But each one gets an announcement of who he is. The sevenfold glory of his person. If you read that in a church age book, you'll get the whole story together. Each one gets a glory or an explanation of the glory of God and what he is. Then it gets a praise for what they went through. Then it gets a rebuke for falling away. Then it gets right back to the end. Because remember what I said, what I went through about 3 weeks trying to explain one thing. That God showed the bride how perfect she was in Revelations 1 through 14, 13, 14, before she ever come on earth. He shows us already perfect. Amen. To him that hath, let him hear, see. What? And unto the angel of the church of Pergamos, these things saith he which hath the sharp sharp sword with two edges. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now what? I know thy works. Same thing. And where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, see the praise. And thou holdest fast my name, and thou shalt hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, ever how you pronounce it, was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee. Rebuke. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. What? By the third church age, it's already picking up from a deed to a doctrine. Right? You go through all of that. I'm trying to get you to just read something and look at it. Look, so hast thou also them that hold a doctrine in the Nicolaitans, see? Which thing I hate. Repent, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Oh. Looks bad, but now watch him. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. All right? So there's an overcomer. It always starts telling who God is, coming to a rebuke or a praise. You can drop them backwards or forth, but it'll be a praise, then a rebuke, then right back to tell who you are. And remember, every overcomer gets the same. It ain't one age gets it and we don't get it. We all wind up getting the same. Because when we get to glory, we were talking about it last night. When we get to glory, it's not going to be us looking down on, well, Luther, you just, all you had was justification. So we don't have time for you. We are the top echelon. No, he inherits everything you inherit, and you inherit everything he inherits. Right? Because that's our God. Come on, let's go to and to the angel of the church in Thyatira. These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Identically to Revelations 1, 12, 13, 14. All right, there's that statement again. I know thy works. East church age, that statement is in East church age. Works is not works to try to save. Works is an expression of your salvation. So it's not to just that he's praising their works that they're trying to be saved. He's praising them for the life they're living under the conditions they're living in. Come on, if you don't believe it, go back and read the church age book and see what he says. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Now I'm watching. Praising, but watching. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Rebuke. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I cast her into the bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches, see, hitting that false vine, right? Shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the heart. But unto you I say, and to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. Coming back to a praise or telling. Now it comes right back to the same one. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of potters shall they be broken to silver, as I receive of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Come on. What is it? And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, same statement, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Because there's where you'd lost the name of Jesus coming in to Luther and Wesley and all of that. Okay, go ahead. We stopped on 3:1. Okay. No, comfort. No, that's okay. Because the point is what? The point is on the what? Okay, we got it back. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Why? Because they had come into the fifth and the sixth church age. You got so mixed up until you couldn't tell the difference hardly in the true and the false vine. But just remember, Luther's justification was enough for salvation in his day. All right. So remember, you're not going to lose it. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If thou, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I'll come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Watch him. Thou hast a few names, amen, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, praising them, and I shall walk with them in white, for they are worthy. What did he say? He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, telling who he is, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Now, we'll back up Wednesday to this point, because this is what I want you to see. He set before thee an open door. That was the revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ, right? That was given starting back in Luther's age to come forth, coming on over into Wesley, and the revealing of the name of Jesus. All right? Now, because that's very wonderful to where we are. But think, every age gets that. That's the point I want you to see. Every age gets. I'll make them with a synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I'll write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name.
Amen.
He that hath a ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say. Did you follow the layout? Each age tells who he is, the Lord Jesus. Each age gets a praise for their work and their doing, their works. Because every church age, all seven, it has, I know thy works. All right? That was their lives they were living in that age. But remember what they were living now. To get a point, we back up. They were living present tense. There was a time when that was written. When John was writing on Patmos, the first church age was basically already over with, starting into the second one. That has nothing to do with it. It's speaking of Paul and them present tense. If you get it present tense, you won't hold so much on something of the past. All right? Because you're always looking back. Well, boy, bless God, look at them the day we had it on the day of Pentecost when that happened. We had it there. We had a great thing in Azusa Street. But where are we at now? We just did. I've always said this, whether you like it or what. I don't care because I speak plain and blunt. You take the book of Acts. Come on. You take the book of Acts and put it in the Laodicean age. And see how many overcomers you got. You know what I'm saying now? You take the people in the book of Acts that had no hindrances and things. That's why I said to start with and what I'm saying. When you start reading, if you'll look at it, chapter where you read first church age, second church age, third church age, you get more praising for what's going on. Because what was taking place was wonderful. Then it started to dwindle. You think Paul had trouble with the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Herodians? What would he do with 969 different denominations facing him? What would he do with the people of this message facing him? He'd say, I'm going back to Ephesus. That's as plain as I say it. Because that's what I'd do. And Lord, let me go back. Get me away from this junk.
Amen.
Brother Branham said the very spirit that those people under the Fox of Book of Martyrs and the killing of the millions is the same spirit we use daily to overcome. Well, Brother Dale, you want to go back there where they're killing the people? Well, sometimes it'd be easier. Because I can quote Brother Branham to you. He said those people back in those ages, he said they just walked right into death. Because it was the spirit of the age. All right? They wasn't screaming and hollering. They just walked right into death. The same spirit they use for that. It takes that for you and I to just overcome every day.
Amen.
Now come on. Come on. Think about life. And think about how far it's gone. That's what I said. We'll pick up the Laodicean church age, Lord willing, Wednesday. But think of how it's gone. I think of the 50 years, 48 technically, 50 of hearing of the message, and to think of how far this thing has went. You're saying, well, I didn't think it'd go this way in time. I'm saying I didn't think it'd get this horrible. We don't have to name names. There's no use of it. But you know what has happened to the biggest portion of the ministries of this message, the older ones especially, what has happened. They have turned against the message. You got to admit that's right. Well, that's Brother Dale. That's just their way of seeing it. I didn't know we had any right to interpret the word. I thought we had only the right to believe it and accept it. I ain't never said nobody's going to die and go to hell because they don't believe what Brother Dale said. You go tell somebody that, you're a liar. That's the best way to say it. Because I ain't never taught nothing like that. Because I believe every individual stands before God for themselves. I can't put you in the body and I can't take you out of the body. Right? You have to do that. But to realize that you can follow that church ages. Read it. Compare each church age and see the things that I spoke of. First, telling who God is. Second, praising the church for what they're doing and how they're putting up with all of the things. Third, rebuking them because they do go wrong. Not lost. They go wrong. But then he turns right back to tell you how much an overcomer inherits. And see, whether you think it's that way or not, that's all right with me. But to think that everything those people got back down through there, the right to the tree of life, the name written, all of those things is all given to you. Because you're the age that's the most horrible. This is the worst age of all ages. Because as a matter of fact, if you'll read it, I'll read it Wednesday, you find little praise in the seventh church age. Read it for yourself. You find less praise and less admonishings and things in the seventh church age than you find in any age. Because it's come down to the end. But also remember one thing. Everything they get as an overcomer, we get. Because it doesn't say we're waiting on them. It says they without us cannot be made perfect. You realize then all the ages is waiting to this age. Read it and see. Take each one of the overcomers. Just write it down on the side. This age gets the overcomes in. This age gets the overcomes in. This age gets the overcomes. And then read every one of them and put them to yourself. No wonder Brother Branham said, I'd rather be here than any age. Right? Than any time he said he'd rather be here. Of all of the bad and all the thoughts, I'd rather be here. Because you see, listen, church, for one time in life, you're going to have to listen to understand. For one time in my life, my mind is clear. Because he has brought us to the Word. Why wouldn't you want to say it like that? Amen. I admit that my mind was not clear upon the doctrines of the message. I admit that. It wasn't clear on the things we even tried to preach in the Baptist. That's what I was telling them last night. See, Brother Brown said, you better leave them Baptists alone. Now, what's he talking about? I was telling them last night. You realize in the Baptist church, we were looking for the end of the world to come by 1988. Because Israel would be established as a nation in 48. And we could count 40 years. There's people out there that knows a lot more about the Bible than you think they do. And maybe following some of it better than we are. You don't remember how muddled your mind was when you'd read something? Even read the prophet. And he'd say something. And your mind just wasn't clear. See, that's what it's supposed to do. This is where we're at. See? This message is coming to change this body, right? Am I right? It's coming for the change of the body. Well, you know where it's got to work at? You say, well, now you're bright. Now, wait a minute. Your mind does have something to do with it. Don't go along. Don't jump so quick. Don't say, well, my mind don't have anything. It has something to do with it. Remember, it's not what we overcome. It's how we overcome, the prophet said. And he said, we can only overcome by being in Jesus Christ. So then we can only have a clear mind if the mind of Christ can come into our human brain and drop down into our soul to be made alive. Because listen, the biggest portion of the Bible's done been fulfilled. There's things that'll take place when we leave out of here. All right. I'm only interested in what's taking place right now. Amen. Well, Brother Dale, I like to talk about what's coming. That's all right. That's all right. We talk about what's coming. But remember, what's coming is not here. Right. And remember, Satan can impersonate. Like I told them last night. See, Satan can impersonate. You get something figured out, be careful. And I made the illustration. I said, what if a form walks into this church today? And you're able enough to see it. Are you going to holler and say the resurrection's already passed? They're dead among us. That might not be what you're looking at. It might be an impersonation. Satan can impersonate everything. So you say, well, what are we going to do? What are you going to do if it does? What are you going to do if something appears in your home and you see it to look like a person? Now, come on. Let's get sensible. Just for another second. Now, what is that word? I know I'll miss it, but what is it called? Heliograph? How's that word where they can project a person's image?
Polygram.
Okay. Polygram. Holly. I know it had the H in it. I wasn't looking for the P. Hologram. All right. Hologram. All right. Jensen Franklin has about 10 churches. Do you know what? People in those 10 churches can sit there and look at him. Not because of a video, but because of projection that they can make. If they can do that and project him over into another church and he stands there looking just as real as can be, don't you think Satan's going to impersonate him? We could be here to... And here could come angels walking in it, we think. Be careful. It might be somebody projecting him. Well, okay, Brother Dale, now how are we going to know? Or to quit and go home, let you leave with that for a while and let you think. How are you going to know whether that's real or not? Serious question. A situation that could take place. How are you going to know? Do you have the answer? Why don't you do what the prophet said? Give it the word test. He said to do that on anything. It don't matter where it's the devil or who it is or what's taking place. You give it the word test. Remember in the Bible? About the way that it was described and they could come forth. But if they take you to another God. Now what are you going to do if here comes walking in two or three people that look so real until it's amazing to even the images and the things that they can project? And what if that image or person, as you want to call it, starts talking and declares them to be the angels of the Lord that's come here to straighten you out on these doctrines that you've got, because you ought not believe this William Branham to be a prophet. Now, how are you going to argue with him? There stands something in front of you declaring. Well, Brother Dale, what are you going to do? I'm going to say, we don't want you in here. Would you mind leaving? Because we're following the message. And we believe the message. And you say you don't believe it. But yet you say you're an angel of God. If you're an angel of the devil, I know you don't believe it. What are you going to do? But those things, Brother Dale, ain't going to happen. What if they do? Remember what in the church ages there? They tried them that said they were apostles. They wasn't playing with no heliographs or ever what y'all words you say. I can't never pronounce anything twice. It ain't none of that. They were real. Right? Come on, musician. What are you going to do? I'm just asking a question. You see why it's so vital to know what the word says. Right? So vital to understand how serious it is about the word. Amen. But oh, when I think about Brother Louis telling there the other day about that man. I quoted it. He didn't have a book, but he had a book, but he didn't have a drawing of Brother Branham to show anything about the thing. But yet he had the Daniel 70 weeks to write. Amen. I say God was with him. Amen. See? What a glorious thing to be able to see the Word of God. And to follow it straight through and have a clear mind about things in God's Word. Are you confused about whether there's two or three gods or one God or what's doing? Something's wrong with you. After you followed the message 40, 50 years and then you turn against it as they're doing now? Don't tell me that's the Holy Spirit. What we got? Let's stand. Praise
God. Let's sing number 330. We've been made more than conquerors.
We've been made more than conquerors. Overcomers in this life.
What about it? Are you an overcomer? If it is, it's Jesus Christ in you that's overcome.
Jesus Christ, trouble may come knocking at your door.
Just think about him.
Don't
more
be
than
afraid.
Overcomer.
You know it's not like before.
Think about him. Don't you give so he lives in you and I. Don't let it bring you down. That's the only way we can overcome. You don't have to worry anymore. Brother Dale, you scare me because you talk like something could happen. We've been made more than conquerors. May I quote Brother Branham listening to him the other night? He said, this person told him, said, Brother Branham, said, you scared the people talking about the Lord coming and things like that. Now, I'm paraphrasing it, but it's very close. He said, why wouldn't the bride want to know that he's coming? You mean you don't want him to come? You're not happy that the word is being unveiled? What are you looking for? No matter what you're looking for, it has all got to relate back to the Word. We are more than conquerors, overcoming. Anybody have a need? Hey, church, this is your life. We're in the last age. There's not another one to come. The past has caught up with the present tense. You can read a newspaper today and almost put it in the prophet's message as far as laying a book right down beside of it of what's taking place. That's why I say I don't care what the people of this message turns into and does. This message has brought me to Jesus Christ and a peace in my heart and my mind that I can read the Bible for myself. And you know what I'm talking about. Because right on the side of that Bible that I'm reading for myself is exactly where the prophet explained it. Right? You see the print? That's where the prophet explained that. That's why I'm so certain. Let me say what he said. Come on. But Brother Dale, in that one of them church ages, he said there'd be a new name. Brother Branham said on questions and answers on the seals, it may be known when we get there. Now, what are you going to come up with? That's what I said. I got what he says. He said, I don't know what it is. You want that quote? It's laying in there. He said, it may be known when I get there. He said, none dare conjure to try to figure it out. Because you'll only get away. But yet we've done everything in the book. Because we're human beings. Conquerors. Overcomers in this life. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you for today and we ask you to just go with us now as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back together to hear the word this afternoon as Wade ministers unto us. And Lord, let our hearts be open to you. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for you could show us these things that are in thy word. And Lord, to see that we know what the prophet had to say. He says, when you repeat things, then we need to watch out. And there you put it seven times that I know thy works. You put it an overcomer seven times. You put it all of the things seven times in thy word. You rebuked, you praised. How much glorious should we see it and to walk in the light of your love. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Ain't victorious.
overcomers in this life. We the bride, we are victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now trouble may come knocking at your door. Don't be afraid, you know it's not like before. Don't you give in, don't let it bring you down. 'Cause you don't have to worry anymore. We've been made overcomers in this life.